Good morning. Welcome to our Friday devotion and prayer time. My name is Tom Lemler. I'm a staff member of the Deer Run Church of Christ in South Bend, Indiana, as well as the director of Impact Prayer Ministry. Made it to December 1st, and so the Christmas calendar and schedule and activities kind of ramp up for a lot of people, and for others it's a time of sadness, of missing those that aren't with them through this Christmas season. And so just encourage you to be mindful of what others are going through, to pray for one another, to share peace and kindness and love. And kind of ties into what we're going to wrap up our week's focus. We've been talking and praying this week about faithfulness, about living with a desire to hear Jesus say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." And today we're going to talk and pray about being faithful to strangers. And specifically to those fellow believers who may be unknown to you. Now this can apply to those strangers that aren't believers, but the text we're going to use is specifically looking at those who are brothers and sisters in Christ. 3 John, verse 5, typically designated as chapter 1, verse 5, but there is only one chapter. Says, "Dear friend, you are faithful in what you are doing for the brethren, even though they are strangers to you." John's writing a friend, and a friend who has had believers unknown to him stop by. And John is impressed with this friend's love for the brethren, his faithfulness in serving and caring and sharing with those in need. If you're familiar with especially the letters of John, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, but it's definitely woven throughout his gospel that he's written. Love seems to be that one of those major themes. The way that we love God, the way that God loves us, the way that we love one another. And so much throughout Scripture talks about the way, Jesus even made it clear that the way we love one another as brothers and sisters in Christ will say to the world that we belong to Jesus. Now, this doesn't dismiss us from responsibilities of loving the lost. Jesus makes it clear that that's part of our responsibility, that this same care and concern extends beyond those who are family, but he does make it clear in Scripture that it ought to begin with those who are family, with those who are our immediate family, with those who are our church and Christian family, with those who are brothers and sisters in Christ. And I think about all of the times where we have opportunity to be faithful to strangers. So I've had opportunity at times over the years to volunteer with International Disaster Emergency Service and tornado and hurricanes primarily, cleanup and recovery. And it's always fascinating to watch and listen to the responses of those that are being helped, those that need help. And I remember one incident very clearly where the people that we were helping and cleaning up trees that had fallen on their property and on their house and just trying to get things to where they could take that next step towards recovery. And they were so grateful. It was such a big mess. They simply did not have the ability, the time, the resources to take care of it on their own. And there was a group of us, and the group working there were all from different places. And they were wanting to pay. And they really didn't have the means to do so, but felt obligated that we have to pay someone. And their rationale was that we had come down there of our own time. We had our own vehicles. We had our own equipment. And all of that had to cost something. And one of the guys that was volunteering with me simply turned to them and says, "Yes, it did, but Jesus already paid that cost." And that faithfulness to strangers is made possible because Jesus paid the cost of whatever it takes. And sometimes just simply to be able to worship with brothers and sisters in Christ that are unknown to us bridges that gap. Because all of a sudden we realize not the differences, but the commonality that we have. The unity in Christ. And so as John writes to this friend Gaius, and he says, the church is talking about this. The people of God are sharing this good news that you're loving strangers. You're helping them along their way. You're caring for them when you have opportunity. I think sometimes we get caught up in some of this stuff and we almost get to feeling guilty that, well, I'm not doing enough, and so-and-so says I ought to be doing this and I ought to be doing that. And I don't believe the Bible is about a guilt trip. The Spirit is about conviction, and there are times where God's Spirit convicts us that what we're doing isn't right, or it isn't enough, or it isn't with good motives. But that's God's Spirit. And sometimes He'll put people in our life that remind us of that. But it reminds me of a phrase that a friend of mine would use often, and he was rather well known, and partly because of that, he would pretty regularly have people come to him and say, I was praying and God really laid it on my heart that you ought to be doing this, and would have some task, some project, some thing that this person really wanted to see done but didn't want to do it themselves. And my friend's response was very consistent. He would kind of laugh and say, that's funny, I was talking to God this morning and He didn't mention it at all. And so we have to be careful of how we recognize what this looks like. It comes out of our time with God. It comes out of our time of prayer and listening in God's Word. But our faithfulness to strangers is about sharing in that bond of peace, that bond of love, that bond of unity that comes from having the same Father, that comes from being siblings that have learned to love one another. And so we pay attention. And we practice. One of the reasons that this worked for the early church is they had become pretty good at caring for one another that they did know. They had become pretty good at fellowship. They had become pretty good at meeting needs. Not necessarily of their community at large, but meeting needs of the believers. And because that was their lifestyle, that was their general practice of life, it made it a lot easier to overflow into the believers that they didn't know. As Paul would go about his missionary travels and his church planting and his preaching and teaching and proclaiming Jesus, there were times where he would be involved in taking up a collection for the poor in Jerusalem. And he would always talk about either the urgency or the commitment or the follow-through, and sometimes all of it. And there were times where he would have to chastise some of the areas for committing to help and then not following through. But there were other times where he would praise a group of Christians because they went above and beyond anything that was thought possible. That they had sacrificed out of their own poverty in order to help strangers. And I think for me, one of the greatest motivations, simply outside of obedience to God, which ought to be a great motivation, to being faithful to strangers is when God's word tells us that there are those who have entertained angels unaware because of their hospitality towards strangers. You see it in the Old Testament at times, where it becomes known, and yet Paul writes and he says that's happening now. And I believe it still happens. And we live life faithful to strangers because we live life representing Jesus. We live life faithful to strangers because we live life loving people like God loves us. And we use wisdom, we use discretion, we use all of the tools that God has given us in His Word and in His Spirit. But we do it. And just as a parent's love for their children doesn't always give them what they need, but rather, or doesn't always give them what they want, but rather what's needed, our faithfulness to strangers may not always be what they want, but it ought to always be what they need according to our ability. I think it's James that'll write and says that if you have the ability to help someone and you choose not to, then what you're doing is wrong. But there's an underlying thought process through that is sometimes you might not have the ability. And then you work together. You maintain that faithfulness. And you combine with others. And you find the help. See, God's desire is that our faithfulness to Him is reflected in the way that we're faithful to one another. And that our faithfulness to one another within the body of Christ helps the world to see that there's something that's desirable. So that they too would no longer be aliens. They would no longer be outside, that they would become a part of the family and experience God's faithfulness. Would you spend some time today praying with me? Father, thank You that You are a God that loves us. Your love has given us what we need in order to belong to your kingdom, to your family. And we have that because of Jesus. So God, today, help us to be faithful not only to those that we know, not only to those that are around us who we like, but to be faithful within your family, within the kingdom. Be faithful to those who we may not know, those who are strangers to us and yet are part of our family. And Father, may that faithfulness extend not just our love for others, but may it extend your kingdom as it presents an image to the world of a place of belonging, a place of peace. So God, today, help us to pay attention to the opportunities that lie before us. Rather than seeking our own good in every situation, may we consider what it looks like to seek the good of others. May our love and our sharing and our serving involve those that are known to us and involve those that are not known to us. And may your faithfulness carry us through the times when we're not faithful. And may your Spirit convict us so that together we would lift up Jesus at every opportunity so that many would be drawn to him. It's in his name that I pray. Amen. This has been our Friday devotion and prayer time. Thank you so much for joining me today. I do pray that your day is greatly blessed by God so that you can be a blessing to others. Have a great day.